Hi. As the name of the podcast suggests, I connect a lot of topics together in the service of growing the practice of psychotherapy. As the number of episodes grows, it occurred to me that I could offer you a way to organize the episodes. So I've created playlists. Playlists are compilations of all the episodes on one topic. If you'd like to try this out, there is a link in the show notes to the playlist page, where you will find the categories, and then you click on the category you're interested in, and you'll see all the episodes on that topic. I hope you enjoy it. While you're there, you could sign up for the newsletter if you like. Those come out weekly and are a great way for us to stay in touch, and for you to keep up to date about the podcast and additional events. Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. This is Brenda Moreau, and in this episode, I'm going to share some thoughts on how to work clinically when you hear a positive projection in a session made by a child client. I'll start by providing a reminder of projections, a quick overview. Then I'll discuss how you might see them in a therapy session, and I'll share some ways that I respond to encourage the development these projections may be signaling. In this podcast, our audience members include those curious about psychological concepts, practicing therapists who would like to add to their skills, and students considering a career in psychology, among others. All are welcome, and I'm glad you're here. If you'd like to learn more about this topic, I have discussed it a few times on the podcast. I introduced the concept of projections in episode 1, and in the most recent episode, number 12, I described some of the research I did and explained some projections that were made by a child toward a therapy dog. In episodes 5 and 6, I provided some ways you can listen for a positive projection and intervene in support of an adult client in therapy. First, let's remember why projections are so important in mental health therapy. In general, projections involve the idea that there is an internal experience, like a thought or a feeling, that is unknown and potentially overwhelming. So it is projected onto someone or something else. Projections start in childhood and continue through the lifespan. Whether negative or positive, projections are a normal part of human development. In early development, they are simply a way to manage an increasingly overwhelming world as we mature into the capacity to organize our experiences. It is the trends and the patterns that I'm interested in when I'm working with someone because I want to understand what is happening inside of them. In this episode, I am discussing positive projections, and they are a phenomena we are likely to see in our offices. They are harder to spot than negative projections because they show up a lot of times in the form of compliments. As I've mentioned before, trends in positive projections can illuminate areas for development for both children and adults. And so I want to observe these trends to learn how I can better support my clients. In the last episode, I mentioned some of my dissertation research where I brought a therapy dog into sessions when there was an established relationship between a child client and their therapist. I designed a protocol where we joined for 4 sessions, each for about 20 minutes, and completed specific interventions. Among many things, I measured positive projections toward the therapy dog, which I defined as the child identifying a strength or pleasing characteristic of the therapy dog. Maddie, one of my golden retrievers, was the therapy dog, and many of the participants said things about her, including she was cute, smart, nice, and a friend. Since participants couldn't speak directly with the therapy dog, I wanted to observe how they might use projections in an attempt to make sense of their own worlds. To me, projections onto animals are really interesting because the animal cannot return the favor. In other words, if you say something nice about the therapy dog, she can't return the favor back, at least in words. So in my research, it was easier to investigate the meaning behind these projections and what they may reveal. I consulted with the treating therapists to understand the ties to what was said to the therapy dog and what had been happening for the clients. What I found in my research is similar to what I now see in my office. Many times, if the child continued to state a positive statement about the therapy dog, it had something to do with what was on their minds. For example, if the child suggested the therapy dog was a friend, there was a strong chance that when I checked in with the therapist later, the child had socialization skills as a therapy goal. And they were experimenting in session appropriately with what it means to make a positive projection of a quality they wanted to obtain internally onto another being, all in the service of developing their own empathy skills. Because it takes the ability to see what the qualities of a good friend are in somebody else before we can start to learn about how to create them in ourselves. As a reminder, the idea here from a psychoanalytic theory perspective is that these children were thinking about social skills. And along the way, someone probably explained the ideas of what it takes to make a friend. At first, concepts like being nice, sweet, and good don't really make sense. They are just words. And these were some more of the positive projections the children attributed to Maddie during the research project. Eventually, the children will associate these words with the experiences of being around someone they may want to call a friend. As therapists, this is where we can really help children understand the difference between the words they hear from others and which of those actually resonate with their own thoughts and feelings. One of the participants in the research project remarked that Maddie was nicer than her friends at school. And so this is where I feel animal-assisted therapy can really be powerful, because we can ask what it is about the animal, in this case it was Maddie, that they are experiencing and appreciating as friendship, in order to help them start making sense for themselves by verbalizing the experience in session. This is thought to be how we learn to empathize with others. The child will likely begin to understand the experience of others by projecting their own feelings onto another, and through this, they learn to understand similar states in themselves. We start by projecting these big feelings onto others, and then eventually realize we identify with them ourselves and we like reclaim them in a way. In this way, projections are the building blocks for how we develop empathy. We are projecting our internal states, big feelings, negative thoughts, etc., onto others, and we eventually gain the emotional maturity to own them for ourselves. When we can distinguish between what is us and what is other people, we start the process of empathy because we can now better understand their world, their experiences. It is important to intervene, especially for child clients, to help them develop these capacities. Problems in the area of projections that get too rigid and that only someone else has either good or bad qualities, for example, that tends to develop a personality that is rigid and strict, and it affects the person's ability to make lasting friendships and relationships overall. As you might imagine, projections are difficult to recognize in part because they are usually not a conscious behavior by the client. Positive projections can be toward things like role models who have jobs or interests or qualities that the client ascribes to. For me, it is when there is something that the client cannot let go of, either in one session or over a few weeks or even months of therapy. It's different than a compliment because it just sticks. And if given enough room to explore it in the conversation, the topic continues to be circled around until it can be verbalized and discussed in session. So for positive projections, some ways you might see them show up in your therapy office is when a client makes a statement that projects something onto a peer, a teacher, a parent, or other person in their life. These statements tend to be spontaneous. And for me, I often take a bit to listen and understand what is being said and why it is being said. I like to narrate, so sometimes when I am unsure, I simply narrate back. You are talking about your friend who is getting good grades? I then might ask a question about what it means for the client to be interested in good grades. So I may say something like, "What happens to people who get good grades?" From here, you can see where the client is positively projecting, if they are, as they may reply with something like, "People who get good grades go to college and get out of this town." Or, "People who get good grades get scholarships and have less debt, setting them up for their future." Or even something with more immediate reward. "People who get good grades get a car for graduation." By staying curious and in the client's language and thoughts and reflecting them back to them, the conversation leads to what they are seeing or projecting onto their friend. And once we understand what it is they are seeing in the friend that they aspire to, then we can support them in therapy to develop that understanding of what they're looking at and determine if that is a goal they want to pursue for themselves. I work in a psychodynamic way, which means that on occasion, what is happening outside of therapy begins to happen in therapy. So for positive projections, you might see the client say something about you. Maybe a nice comment about you, yourself, your office, your clothing, your shoes. Again, it is a kind of spontaneous statement that is projected onto you. This isn't to say that all compliments are positive projections, but often, given the nature of the therapy relationship, it is uncommon for a client to make a statement directly about us as therapists. So when they do, I take notice. Some ways I was taught and have found to be the most helpful to respond to a positive projection is simply to say, "Thank you." And then from there, you can see how the person wants you to respond. Sometimes that's enough to say thank you, and that is the extent of it. But sometimes the client may be wanting you to reciprocate a similarly positive statement. Depending on case history and the reasons I think they may be seeking that, I may go ahead and return the compliment. I definitely always want to return the focus back onto the client, so this is an effective way to do that. Some examples I have had include people complimenting me for being attentive to them, or I might get comments about being smart or intelligent. You can probably tell from how I'm describing this how uncomfortable it is for me to receive a compliment. So when that happens, I generally make myself take a breath and listen to what the person is saying and say thank you. Whenever I hear these compliments, I think about how the person might be wanting to develop similar qualities in themselves. Strong relationships often have to do with both parties being attentive to one another. And by nature of being a therapist, it is commonly known that we have to get extra education to be able to do this job. And so mainly I'm curious about what this means for them. If maybe they would like to develop similar qualities that they feel they see in me for themselves. So in general, I endorse this behavior with my appreciation, and I get curious about their interests because it probably is saying something about what's happening for them. I don't pull for any further compliments, but I also don't admonish the behavior. There's a way you can say thank you and move on. But for people who are really experimenting with safe relationships, it's a bit too harsh, in my opinion. You want to invite some actual bonding in the therapeutic alliance and to find a healthy balance there as someone is developing this empathy-building skill. To pull for too many positive affirmations for yourself, of course, has many problematic concerns because you will put pressure on the person to support your needs. But to dismiss them also has concerns because it can stunt the growth of this skill. This is true especially for teenagers who have come to work with us because of a traumatic history perhaps, or maybe some difficulties in relationships. More than likely, they've seen adults at school or somewhere else do this, so they are wondering how it could work for them. and they are appropriately using therapy to experiment with this skill and building it to take into their own relationships. When working with a child who has been reluctant to make a bond with a safe adult, this can be a hopeful sign, especially if it doesn't happen in the first week or two, or in fact, even in the first month or two, because you want it to develop naturally as a result of them gaining trust in the therapeutic relationship. As I mentioned earlier, psychoanalytic theory considers this as a way to develop empathy skills. When this is done genuinely, it is usually a sign of progression in therapy. You may be wondering what happens if projections are not addressed. The theory is that they will continue to be unconscious for the client, and that the client may not realize they too feel similar qualities to the person or animal about whom they are making statements in the form of projections. In the case of positive projections, the qualities being projected often have to do with dreams and aspirations. By intervening, we encourage the client to become more conscious of these things for themselves, and in doing so, more able to choose if they would like to pursue these goals. If positive projections are not addressed, they may become resolved on their own as the person matures. Our opportunity as therapists, though, is to help the client accelerate this process because it will illuminate some of the things they may be interested in developing by working through them in a safe therapeutic relationship. Many times, clients have dreams and aspirations for themselves that can get squelched, unfortunately, by their community, family of origin, friends, as maybe not being who we are. And positive projections remain something the person sees in other people only. A person who really wants to develop in these ways may eventually do it without therapy, hopefully. However, by working through these projections and integrating them during therapy, they can become conscious of ways they may want to develop their dreams and aspirations, and we can encourage this development. To summarize, the way I intervene with this behavior is to first observe it and try to understand the context and potential meaning for the client. In many cases, I am working with someone to improve relationships, and since this skill builds empathy, I try to endorse it. I typically endorse it in a subtle way, which ideally will encourage it to continue in appropriate ways, not necessarily with me, but it might. I view this behavior in children as an experiment in the session where they are trying a social behavior and curious how it might work out. So I will let the behavior play out until the client feels like it is a skill they have developed and can take into their relationships. So what are the expected phases of improvement as this behavior gets integrated for the client through supportive therapy? Generally, they will catch themselves making statements about others and consider on their own what it is about the quality they find interesting about the person or animal. And then in therapy, jointly, they may want to discuss their decision on whether or not to develop this quality further in themselves. Another way I know therapy is progressing in terms of this skill is to start hearing and seeing a more realistic and thus empathetic view of other people's choices. Ideally, the client will also start to be able to name and identify with their own positive projections, those being hopes, dreams, or aspirations for them to develop into as they mature. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.